Town of Discovery Bay Standing Water Wastewater Committee meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect, all members are present with the exception of District Engineer Harris and District Water Engineer Schuler.
Okay, with that, we're going to move on to public comments. Currently, we don't have any public with us. If someone does show up, we'll go back to public comments and allow them their 3 minutes. So do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the December 4th meeting?
So moved.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Move on to presentations. Steph?
Okay, as you know, at the Willow Lake area, we had an underwater pipe break. We've been kind of keeping you up to date on that. But since that time, we had a underwater crossing pipe break at the marina area. And so Aaron's going to bring you up to date on that, and Mike may be able to fill in some additional information. Aaron?
So the harbor called us, letting us know that they had a possible leak. I went down there to investigate. It turned out to be our underwater main crossing that goes from, I guess, where they park the boats there for a show, where you buy them, it runs underneath the grass, underneath the bay to the end of Marlin Drive. The break is about, I'd say, 10 feet offshore, right underneath the fill-up gas part of the dock. So we got a diver to go down there and take a look at it to give as much information as possible. At first, he couldn't find the pipe, and then he realized he was in a crater, that the pipe caused a crater of pushing all the sludge away from the flow of the pipe. Yep. He said about 8 inches of the pipe was exposed. There was a hole about 3 inches in diameter on the 5 or 6 o'clock position, the bottom of the pipe. He couldn't visually see anything. Visibility was terrible. And he said there was some kind of fabric coating that the pipe was wrapped in that was blown off. That's the update I have on that. He did let us... I have reached out to other companies, Romac and Smith Blair, to see if they have some kind of clamp we can put on there. They seem that they're okay with putting a full stainless steel clamp on if we can get a nice clean seal around the outside of the pipe and put that on. Contact the diver. The diver says he thinks he can do that kind of work, and that's where we're at.
Okay. This is under the same thing because the fire divers are involved, correct?
So yes, it is part of the main distribution system.
Right, so from an emergency standpoint, we could probably use the same process that we did with the...
Maybe the hydraulics, the mapping hasn't been ran yet. I don't believe so.
Yeah, I did talk to Justin about that.
Did he run it?
What he said wasn't as critical as what we had over in Willow Lake. But we're not going to have those same issues because we're not going to be disturbed.
That's right. Yeah, just we put a clamp on, we don't need to go through all
that. Right. Okay. Yeah. We're not, because like he said, the crater's already there. All the earth is already disturbed.
Yeah.
So we won't be disturbing.
We don't know if this, with the water so murky, I'm sure you couldn't determine whether it was an anchor that caused it or was this corrosion. We don't know.
Don't know, but given that it's at the 5 or 6 o'clock position at the bottom of the pipe, I don't think it's an anchor.
Okay.
And boats don't travel between the dock and the rock, or the riprap. If it happened at the top of the pipe, you could say maybe somebody threw a riprap piece of rock in there and hit it,
sure.
But it's at the bottom, so we don't really see any foul play.
Okay. Plus, it's about buried about 4 feet deep under the...
Yes, it is. It has about 4 feet of cover on top of it, okay. Which blew off from the hole. Yeah.
So, currently, we have that line isolated, so there's no pressure coming out now?
Correct. Originally, there was no shutoff valve on the marina side. The valve that would isolate it was further down, closer to the harbor, which killed the harbor and all of their... fire suppression sprinklers and fire hoses on the docks. So we had to dig a hole down and install a valve to restore service to the harbor. So right now, currently, the underwater crossing is isolated.
So no residents are without?
Correct. Everybody has service.
You were able to route around the... okay.
Yeah, I think... I want to say the harbor knew it was leaking for about a week before they called us. But but given the size of the hole.
What was the symptom? Just fresh water coming up?
Yeah, there was a hissing sound that they heard, and the water was moving, and they thought it was theirs, so they were diagnosing everything they had in the dock, and they couldn't figure it out, and that's when they said, you know, maybe it's the town's, because we do have a sign there that says there's an underwater crossing.
Hmm. So,
and how soon before it's fixed, do you have any idea?
If everything goes smooth, if the diver can come out and do it, he might spend a day or two, hopefully, cleaning the pipe, removing the area around it, and then he has to give us the outer diameter of the pipe. We have to order the clamp for it. The turnaround on the clamp is less than a week. So once we get the clamp in, then it would be a second trip for him to come out and install. And I don't know his timeline. I can just give him a call and hopefully he can work around it. Last time I spoke to him, he was going on leave. So.
Okay. So this month it looks like, maybe.
Yes, hopefully.
Okay. All things
come. How about the first line? Where are we on that process?
The underwater lagoon on Willow Lake. The surveyors were supposed to come out and survey the area on both sides to where the best places to dig and run, I guess, the horizontal drilling pipe. They came out and did their survey, I would say, the second week of January. We had issues locating our water main at the end of Laguna. The map show it goes down the center of the islands, but when we went out there and we were doing our locating services, we kept getting false readings and finding it on the side of the street. So we had about 20 feet of guessing of where this main was, which didn't give me any confidence of bringing a surveyor and saying, okay, this is where you marked it, this is what we're doing. So I brought in a Subtronic. They came in and
found it right now.
Well, they said there was an issue too, but they gave us more of what we found. Just a second pair of eyes confirmed best chance it's right there. But there's a lot of things going underneath that cord, like Comcast. They're all spiderweb going everywhere, so that was the hard part.
Did it confirm it was where it was supposed to be according to the drawing?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, guys. No problem. Yeah. Well, what?
The surveyor came out the second week of January, and they're doing their work, and they're going to report it back to Justin, and then we'll get an update from him.
Okay. Sounds like things are moving. That's normal.
Government roof.
Yes.
We originally wanted the surveyor out here in the week of Christmas, right after Christmas, but we couldn't locate our service in time. Yeah. So.
All right.
Speculation on the conclusion?
I don't know.
Yeah, Justin will probably need a couple of months to put the plans together and everything once gets it from the surveyor. Huh. And then we'll turn it over to Bernie. And then I think Bernie's going to actually perhaps start, even before Justin's finished, trying to find some contractors that would give us proposals.
All right, so.
First half of the year.
Yeah, we're towards the end of summer.
Are we going to cause any problems with the neighbors on either side where this is coming down their easement property? Because you're bringing it out under the land, right?
Right.
And it's going to be down the side of two houses, one on either side. So we aren't going to cause them any stress, are we?
Other than looking out their front window, they shouldn't really know we're there.
Okay. And make them aware of what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good.
Okay, well, thank you for the update. With that, we'll go into discussion items, E1, staff.
You have a detailed staff report on this. In essence, early on, we formed a GSA, and we, as a GSA, meaning the Town of Discovery Bay, a groundwater sustainability agency, met with other GSAs with the East Contra Costa portion of the Tracy Subbasin, and we formed an MOU basically to play well together in terms of formulating a GSP, a groundwater sustainability plan. And so that MOU was developed, and then we did an amended MOU that essentially added how we were going to split the cost to fund the development of the groundwater sustainability plan. Well, since that time, we successfully worked with the Department of Waterways, and we split the Tracy Subbasin into two parts. And so our new area, along with our other GSAs, is the East Contra Costa Subbasin. So it's a whole new subbasin name that's been carved out. And so because it's a new name, we wanted to, you know, restate the MOU to reflect the new subbasin name. That's essentially what brings this before the board tonight. And that's approving my signature to go on the new restated MOU.
Sounds it. Pretty easy.
No so changes just, other than the name?
Yes, and basically, yeah. There's boilerplate, I think, changes in there, but there's no significant changes. It's there to reflect the name. No other additional things to refrain from or to do or anything like that. Yeah.
On the cost sharing, each of the members is just paying the exact same or the percentage kind of thing?
Everybody's paying an equal share, except Contra Costa is doing a like-kind value share, so which they justify. And they do. They produce these maps, all these GSA maps that we've been doing. And can you think of some other things that they've done? I mean, those have been pretty expensive and critical.
Yeah. They provided the GIS database that's required.
Yeah, GIS
database. Uploading to the state website. They put a lot of effort in.
Yeah. All right. So from our vantage point at this time, it seems they're equal or a little bit more than everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, and they justify those, you know, log what their time is and what they've been spending it on. So,
I'll
barely bring it before you, before it goes to the board tonight, say recommendation of the Water and Wastewater Committee is to sign the MOU, authorize the general manager to sign the MOU.
Okay.
Great.
All right, everybody, you too.
E2 is going to be a primer. This is going to go to the board as well, and I turn it over to Mike to talk about this.
So basically we have plant 2 and the existing Newport water treatment plant site that have not been annexed to the Town of Discovery Bay boundary. And so when a government agency does not have the land that they own not within their corporate territory of their district, you pay property taxes on it just like any other landowner. But if it is annexed, you don't pay property taxes. So the town's been paying around $11,000 a year in property taxes. And so we have an opportunity with the Pantages project in that they also need to annex to the Town of Discovery Bay. So I had a meeting with Lantic Sarah, who's the executive officer, and said, could we piggyback there's four parcels, onto the Pantages annexation? And she said, yeah, that's fine. And so the arrangement we talked about with Pantages was like, look, if you guys pay all the fees to LAFCO and go for the processing and everything, which is about $3,500, we'll go ahead and do the resolution of application and those little things that need to be done to actually apply, because Pantages needs a public agency to be the applicant to LAFCO. Mm. And so they were agreeable to that. So everyone's agreeable. So there's no cost to us other than our pooling expenses for we have to develop a plat legal description for these things. So that it can go to LAFCO so that everyone knows what it is, what land specifically is being annexed to the town, so that we can put it into our boundary. So all of that, I figured we should, even though I got an estimate from somebody for about $9,000 for that, I thought we should budget around $15,000 just to cover any other incidental expenses, because we'll need to have legal involved and things like that. And so the other thing is that there's the urban limit line that goes around Discovery Bay, if you're familiar with that. The urban limit line was basically established many years ago to where the county does not want to see any private development occurring outside that urban limit line, no houses, no industrial complexes, things like that. And so Plan 2 is outside the urban limit line. And so that creates a bit of a problem for the planning department at the county, that the town would be submitting an application to LAFCO for annexing that territory. And so when I spoke to them, they said, you know, all we need is a condition in there that that land will then not be used by a private party to build a private development or a private commercial facility or anything like that. If the town wants to use it and extend services to there for town facilities, for the wastewater plant, or whatever the town wants to do, that's okay. We're okay with that. We just want something in the record that is understood that by LAFCO approving this, it doesn't mean that in the future some developer can come in and put a big subdivision in there. So that's what we wanted to talk to you about, to let you know. Because it's outside the urban limit line is why they need to have this condition. So with that, what needs to be done would be effort to go ahead and prepare a CEQA document, which would be a very simple negative declaration. And then prepare the application to LAFCO to annex Pantages along with our four parcels. And we would want to work with our general counsel, legal, to come up with that language to present to the county and to LAFCO as the restriction. And I'm sure Rob would come up with some kind of
It's a little tricky because you don't want to have a language be so restrictive that we can't expand our plant for like Sakini or something along those lines, yet meet what their concern is. So it's a little tricky.
But I think we can do something that makes it very simple. I'm going to tell Rod, I'm going to keep this like one or two sentences, and that's it. Really simple, so that we don't just make it too complicated.
And the four partials, you said, includes the 30-some-odd acres that we have out there?
Right, yeah, it's all those three parcels.
So what would that do if we were to decide to put solar panels out there? What restrictions would
we have? No, give no restrictions.
Okay, that's an expansion of the plant, you might say. So make sure the wording fits that in there.
It'll basically be very broad, where the town can install any public facilities that is cheap. Something along those lines.
Sure.
Okay. So very broad.
Yes. Good.
That's going all the way to the ditch on the back side.
Yeah,
all the way to the 75 acres total between the three parcels.
I think that's about what it is. Yeah, I don't have the exact number, but there's three parcels that we own.
It should be around 75 acres. Mm-hmm. Actually, not 75, but the back is 27. And then there's just like 15 or something like that.
So the trying to wrap my head around the dollars and cents. Could cost roughly $10,000. We budget $15,000 just to make sure to do our work, to make all this happen. And Pantages is just going to put the application fee in for $3,500, but they need us in order to make that happen. If we were not annexing our piece along with them, would we have to charge them for all the work that we wording that we'd have to do to get their piece in?
To get their piece in?
Yeah. If it were just them only.
Right. If we're just them only, yes, we would charge our time that we spend to prepare the resolution, write the staff report, things of that nature, to submit to the board for approval and then submit to LAFCO.
So why is it? What's adding? What's the cost to get our pieces, and why are we spending the $10,000?
We need our own separate legal description and plat maps.
And they already have it for them.
They're going to develop their own. They're going to spend their own money for their legal descriptions and plat maps.
Okay.
And we'll spend our own money.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. I was thinking of just backing up the application.
What we're truly saving, if I understand this right, is the $3,500 application fee
right.
that they're going to pay.
Right, exactly.
And then any costs associated with us involved in the pre-annexation, we have a reimbursement agreement, right? So if we're spending money towards the stuff they need done.
But the annexation was going to be, like, they paid a fee and all we do is just apply the backfill. That was going to be kind of a one up in the other.
Right, but if they needed something from our engineers at some point or something like that, is all under a reimbursement.
Oh, yeah, the subdivision plan review, the wastewater system review, the water system redesign review, that's all chargeable to Pantages, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I was just trying to come up with why we were. Didn't sound like we were getting the best of that deal. But I understand it now because they're going to do their own plat map and all that stuff on their own.
Yes.
Okay. And so 18 months or so, we'll be have it paid back and we're saving money out.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
All right. Well, with that, we'll move on to E3, Regional Water Quality Control Board Inspection.
Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Bernie. We received an inspection was conducted, and I'll let Bernie take it from there.
Yep. Back in December, we had our annual, it's supposed to be an annual inspection from the Water Board. They do it about 2 years. Our inspectors came out, did an inspection of the facility. The facility was very well maintained, no issues in the facility. After the walkthrough around, as you can see in the report, they took pictures and all that. We went in and looked at records. They just pulled random records. And so all the records were in order, except we had one where we did a retest of a sample. According to the state, that any test you do has to be reported. And we did a test back on our nitrates. We have to do two a month. We monitor twice a month. Back in December 2018, the first sample came back very high. Our plant is very consistent. We run between 25 and 30 on nitrate. We got a result back of 41, very high. So I had the lab retest the same sample. And it came back at a 26, more in the line of our normal operations. I asked about what happened. Said, we don't know, it's just an anomaly. So I reported the 26 to the state. When we're looking through the records, the state come back and said, no, you have to report the 41 and the 26. Because they say anything, any analytical has to be recorded and reported. So they gave us a violation for not reporting the 41, only the 26. Which I've never heard. You're basically reporting bad numbers because at the end, what the state does, they take all your numbers, and that's how they look at your future permit based on your results. So, anyway, they gave us the NOV and on that, and just basically want us to send a letter saying that how we can correct this, which this was the only time we ever done this because of the we run pretty consistent. That's kind of where we at. We just got to submit a type of report stated then. This is what I'm maintaining. In the future, all analytical results will be reported.
There's no fine or anything.
No fine or anything. No, it's just a
thank you, man. Hey, they had to find something. So they
like I stated in the NOV, it says that discharge will monitor and report. We monitor twice a month. That's what we did. We didn't normally, if we pulled a separate sample, we would have reported, say, three samples or four samples. We had two samples. We just reanalyze one sample. And we know by the difference, because when you retest something, it should be about a 5% difference, give or take. And we had a 30% difference. So we knew there was something wrong with the original test.
Okay. Yeah, I read the report on that. I read it too. I go, what the heck? Sounds pretty minor.
Yeah.
But.
So we included this as just correspondence on the board agenda.
Yes.
Board member wants to talk about it, we can, but it's for their information, and you guys are
I've read the report, but I think it's fine with me.
Okay.
Okay, and with that, we'll go on to number E4, reclaim the bulk water dispensing station. I asked general manager to put that on. I received a brochure, flyer, advertisement talking about it, and we weren't able to do anything with our wastewater, so I just wanted to bring it up and ask staff, is there a need for it, number one? Would it make sense to do look into something like that? I haven't gotten into the cost of installing it. Supposedly, you put a pad down, you run electric to it, they bring out the entire thing, and you just clap it on the ground. A little more difficult than that, but anyway, look it up. Could we do anything with reclaimed water? Can we sell water?
I'll speak for my side, and Greg, you can do that. All right. Well, currently, we cannot do nothing with our reclaimed water until we become certified.
Right. Well, once we get there.
Yeah. And then it's basically finding a use for it. I don't know if there is a use for it. I mean, if you have this station, are we expecting the residents to come pick up their own water and maybe charge them by the gallon? Are we going to give it to them for free? I mean, I guess there's some details that need to be worked out. Because the thing generally the idea is for it to be used for irrigation like that in town, purple pipe water, which would benefit, you know, not using our fresh water for irrigation. But from this point of view, I don't know what would be the benefit if anybody would even come pick it up.
Yeah, I was thinking of dust control or stuff like that, where you sell it to these water trucks and water companies and sell it at a little less price than what we'd sell the firefighter water for.
Right.
Something like that.
You know, we have a hydrant in plant one or plant two, fire hydrant, and they can get water there. But, you know, the state code has changed where you have to use reclaimed water for dust control. Right now, since we don't provide that to the community because we're not certified to do that, that construction company would have to send a water truck to Brentwood to get reclaimed water for dust control on construction sites, you know. We haven't had a lot of people ask. I don't know if anyone's asked to use reclaimed water. In terms of irrigation, our water quality is high in boron and high in salt both, and everyone is pushed back about we don't want your water for irrigation. The golf course and even Aaron, when she was here, said, I don't want your water. It's not good. We have a hydrant there, plant one. If you really wanted to meter it, you could put a meter on a hydrant, you know, and if you want to do that. But normally you just do it by truckload. It's like, okay, you got a 4,000-gallon truck. Okay, this is your charge, you know, if you want to do it. So, in the master plan, we actually analyzed something like this, but really didn't find a demand for it, you know. So it seemed like until we really get the plant certified, and really the thing that holds up the plant certifying is there's no one asking, you know, we can't find anyone who wants to take the water. So, why spend the money to do all the reports and, you know, do all that? That's not cheap. That's like $40,000 to go through all that rigmarole, and no one wants to do that unless, you know, there's some place for it to go, you know, that you can use it.
Because I don't know, I was under the assumption that once we went through denitrification and all that stuff and got through all that and got our new permits.
We make Title 22 quality water. We make it. Okay, that's the water right now we make is Title 22 quality unrestricted use water. That's the quality of the water we make. But the state requires you to write an engineer's report, certify the operators are trained. They're not only trained on how to run the plant, but they're trained on how to train other people to take water and use it safely and stuff like that. So, you know, there's a process to certifying a facility as a Title 22 unrestricted reuse facility. And it goes back to some reports you file. It's basically engineers get reports and operators got to get trained. And then they have to be trained not only on running the plant, but how to train other people on how to take this water and advise them on safe use of the water and stuff like that. So, you know, it's if you said go, like we want to do this right now, it's probably 6 months to do that. Yeah. And really the big dependence because we haven't found anyone that really...
Nobody's asking.
No one's asking when we're asking, they're all saying no, is what it comes down to.
Go, then they will come.
Yeah.
And our current permit, we have to be Title 22 by December 31st of 2022. So,
yeah.
A couple, 3 years.
All right.
Required.
just keep our ear to the ground, and if something pops up, maybe we'll think about it later.
I think maybe once, if construction starts in Pantages or whatever, it might become a need for it at the time.
Yeah.
We talked about doing our parts, but just the filing fees would make that prohibitive.
Right. Well, like I said, we're going to face this. We're going to face this in a couple of years. Like, we're out of time. We're going to have to do it. But until then, people have been like, well, why spend the money? It's really been the case. When we had to drop really, really hard, then we talked to the Department of Health Services, and, they're like, we're in a severe drought. Can't we just irrigate the landscape medians? And they're like, nah, can't do it, kind of thing. So,
through the chair. Let's say Sakini develops. And would the reclaimed water be viable for things such as fire hydrants? And would that be a worthwhile endeavor to have them provide that purple pipe infrastructure, et cetera, for things like fire suppression?
If Sakini develops, state law requires them to put purple pipe in.
Okay.
That's period. Even Hoffman's putting in purple pipe all over the place. It's in there. It's in the ground. What we don't have to Hoffman is the 3 miles from here to the start of their purple pipe, right? Now, Zucchini would be all purple pipe because that's under state law. You can't put in the fire hydrant because the fire department won't let you. Fire department puts the brakes on that. They don't want any reclaimed water in their fire hydrants because they consider that a safety risk for their people. Okay.
Well, that's what I... Brentwood is filled with purple fire hydrants all over Brentwood. I don't know.
They're already purple, but when we contacted the fire department before, they were like, no. But maybe they'll change your attitude. I don't know. But at any rate, normally the fire hydrants are the puddle water system, and the purple pipe is adjacent to it in the community, and they are both running the street, that's state law. So clearly we can bring some over. And then there's been talk about, if they have a freshwater well, then they can mix water, like that we would send them water from the treatment plant for a certain period of time, and then they would use fresh water for a certain period of time so the salt doesn't build up on the plants, some things like that. So, there's been some discussion about how to use the reclaimed water in a community that actually wanted to take it. And I would think that we would probably want to talk with them about that. But even under our permit now, you have to notify the state if you're going to divert water. Right, that's what's in the permit right now. Is they just said, hey, they're trying to track every drop of water in the state right now. And if you divert water from the river, you have to notify the state that you're going to divert from the river and it's going to go over to some new use over here, kind of thing. But if Zucchini comes in strong, you would probably want to work with them to coordinate how that goes. And that includes even during construction, because at that point, they would want the construction water to be so close to them that they would want to just drive across the street and use it, kind of.
Is there a way, other than, say, putting in a special unit, I'm sure we've got a valves or something that we could, say a water truck came over there, we'd be able to fill that water truck right at the plant.
Yeah, we have a hydrant now.
And people have gotten, like, when we do our own projects, they use the hydrant, right? No, they use the hydrant. Yeah. When we do our own projects on site, they use the hydrant that we have here.
Okay. The next question, you got to go through this the training process, and within 2 years, 2020, you're going to have to get our people trained on that.
Yeah.
Is there an ongoing certification that training has to?
Once you're certified, that's it. Then it's up to Veolia to make sure that their operators are Title 22 certified operators.
As long as you meet the standards of Title 22.
Where I was going with that is an ongoing cost, which maybe we think about as far as in the rate study to cover that, plus the ongoing training, because Veolia's cost, or our cost, is going to rise because you're training different people, et cetera. So something to think about, another item in the rate study. A penny here, a penny there.
Have to come up with a dollar amount. What would a dollar amount be?
I'm not sure. I don't think there's a cost to Veolia right now. But even then, I don't think 2 years from now there's an extra cost of Veolia, because that's common training now for wastewater operators on Title 22 water.
So once we go through the initial certification, whatever those funds are, they're spend.
Right. But we could talk about the cost of the initial certification. That's not in rate study at the moment.
And what would that
bring? We didn't bring that up. That's probably $40,000 because you got the.
What's that?
$40,000
Yeah.
Not worth the.
Yeah, I mean, my thinking was that just be engineering services for the town, and, you know, something like that.
Okay, well, with that happy news, we'll pass on that item and bring it up if it ever comes up. Okay. Future discussion items. Anything direct from there?
No, I think purple pipe is a good discussion. We had to continue on. If you're saying you have to be entitled by the end of 2022, we're going to go that way anyway. You've talked about one of our meetings, Gregory, that that there is a way to get that purple pipe under. I guess there's an available pipe or something.
We can. You know, the master plan was looking at taking it to the golf course, or you know, there's been different discussions to how to move that water around.
For future discussions, I think it should be something that's on the second row that we look at as time goes on.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly when you have a big development coming in, like
yeah.
you know, that should be discussed how that's going to occur, you know, for that community. Yeah.
Well, if you're saying Pantages has to have purple pipe.
Yeah, they got to put the purple pipe in, but the real thing is you got to look for them on their landscaping so they can use the water.
Yeah.
So if they come in with all dilithium or some dilithium, say, or whatever, and the water just turns it brown, they're not going to be happy. They're not going to use the water, right? But if they come with some more drought-tolerant grasses or salt-tolerant grasses, I mean, it's a concept of, okay, you're going to use this water. How are we going to use it? So that's been the breakdown. The breakdown is that we can't, you know, we have pipelines missing. We have a piece of pipe missing from us to Hoffman. But above that, even the town, even if we did it to our own stuff, the stuff that planted, the kinds of grasses that are planted, the kinds of things that are planted, aren't really conducive to the high salt, high boron content in our water. Without diluting it or do some alternate mixing where you need a well and you give it well water for a week and then you use this water for a week. I mean, some things like that, but you need to mix it up.
Okay.
So there's got to be some thought goes into the how you design the landscaping. That's been the holdback. That's where we've lost it so far. You know, getting the pipe across the road, or they put the purple pipe in, that state law. It's just they won't use it. They won't use it. They want to dig a well and say we'll use a well because all landscaping is going to die.
Sure.
Okay.
That's okay.
All righty. Well, with that, other items?
This picture reminded me, in the agreement with Veolia for maintaining the ponds, I think the town is supposed to do weed control, right? Around the ponds. And I'm looking at this picture, I'm noting there's a lot of weeds around the ponds there.
They often spread it,
yeah. Is that it? So who's on the town is doing that? I mean, who's like...
I take care of it now.
Oh, you're taking care of it now? Yeah. All right, so
I think it looks like they're dead leaves.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I spray them twice a year.
So you're spraying those?
Yeah.
All right, okay, I just wanted to make sure on that. And then the other topic is, you know, Mike called me today, and we were talking about front-end specifications for projects and stuff. And then, you know, we also had this emergency repair pump station S. And there was a discussion out there about how we should be treating the pipe fittings, you know, we need cathodic protection and stuff. And I kind of realized that there's a big sort of chasm between water and wastewater in terms of engineering practice. You know, like what front end documents do we use and how do we treat the pipe in the ground, you know, because we're doing some things at the treatment plant, we're using documents and we're using cathodic protection and some of those things, I guess, haven't filtered over to water. And I think there should be maybe a meeting or something.
Okay, so that's stuff to work out with staff.
Yeah.
Not for this. So yeah, get together with me and or Mike and Justin, and we'll have some.
And just you know, because Virgil was the bridge between everybody before.
Erringer your bridge.
So now we just need to say, you know, we should be following similar practices.
Yeah, that's for discussion.
Okay. Well. Thanks for the wonderful input from everyone. Meeting now adjourned.